Welcome to Crewcast, the Crew Network podcast that features top thought leaders in commercial real estate, shares important industry insight, and inspires change.
Hello, Cecilia. Glad to have you with us today here on Crewcast.
Well, hello. How are you this afternoon?
I'm very good. So we are here today with Cecilia Bonifé, who is the chair of land use and development practice at Akerman LLP. And we are doing a series to talk about the business of commercial real estate. So I'm thrilled to have you with us because certainly legal aspects of commercial real estate are paramount in terms of transactions and negotiations and all of those kinds of things. So I would love for you to tell us about what your role is at Akerman and how your career path led you here.
Okay, great. Well, my role is, as you indicated, I chair our national land use and development group, and Akerman is now a national AmLaw 100 firm of a little over 765 lawyers in about 26 cities. And I have been very involved in management of the firm over the last number of years, and I was the first woman on our executive committee and then on the board, and also serve as our lateral integration partner for the firm. So I've really seen, as we've seen in just in the, you know, commercial real estate in general, and especially like in CRU, you know, a lot of growth and development with new specialties and areas over the last several years. So it's been very exciting, you know, to be at the firm, which really does afford women great opportunities and believes that they should be, you know, involved in management as well as just being partners.
And so did you grow up saying, I want to be a commercial real estate lawyer?
Oh, absolutely not. I had no idea what I wanted to be. Other though that my mother was a teacher and I knew I didn't want to be a school teacher. So now I had an undergraduate, I think, in political science, and I was like, oh, now what do I do? So then I went to graduate school and got a master's in planning and really enjoyed planning. And I thought, well, this is great. And so I worked in state and local government. And then I became a lobbyist for one of the state agencies. And it was very frustrating in that I would go lobby, and sometimes, you know, I was drafting legislation, but most of the lobbyists were male and were lawyers, and they would go, well, little lady, you know, you're just a planner, and so, you know, in other words, we're really not going to listen to you. So at that point, after working in local and state government for about 8 years, I said, well, you know what, this can't be that hard. So I decided to go to law school. So it was much later in life, but it was an excellent move for me, and I've never regretted doing that. And then I got involved. I did do personal injury 1 year because I thought I wanted to be a trial lawyer, and that lasted, as I said, 1 year. So then I started doing real estate and land use, which involves planning and all the things that I like and was interested in. And that's what I've done for the last many, many years. So I really love what I do.
And I was interested to hear you say that you were the first woman on the executive committee at Akerman. What was that like back then? I mean, was that many? I don't say back then like it's 1930s.
Well, yeah,
but
I know. It was several years. Well, it was, you know, I really felt a great, I thought it was, you know, excellent opportunity for me, but I also felt really, I think, a lot of responsibility, both as a member of the executive committee, because we had a small committee, we have a small committee at the firm, and but also I felt, I guess, maybe more pressure because I was the only woman, and but I really took that seriously and felt that, you know, I really needed then to be very active in our women's group, that we have a women's initiative at the firm, and to really, you know, say, look, you too can be engaged at the highest levels of management and, you know, to mentor people. And I think that that's, you know, something that's important in all of our careers is to use our knowledge and our expertise really to help others along the way. And I just see, CRU is a great organization in terms of doing that with its members, its leadership program. So I think that that's really making us all, better professionals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so, and this is a big year. Ackerman is turning 100 years old in 2020. Yeah, that's a significant milestone. And in 2019, Ackerman was named among the top four law firms in the United States on diversity. So tell me about the firm's efforts to increase diversity.
It has really been an effort, I would say, a long-standing effort, and we're like everyone. It's you never achieve all your goals. But what we really have done is, A, that you have to really broaden the base of people that you're looking at in terms of, you can't get hired if you don't, get interviewed. So really in how we do our recruiting, trying to do programs that, once women are here, how do we keep them? How do we support them? Also for any other, whether it's women or other nationalities, and then to give them opportunities so that they can succeed. So I think that here again, it's sort of this mentoring or partnership that you develop with some of the younger lawyers, especially to try to help them move up in the organization. But you really have to, look at new ways to recruit, I think, just because if you don't, you're not really getting to all of the diverse areas that you need to. Because, our firm should look like our communities are around the country. And if you don't, I think then you're will have problems in the future as with any business if you don't continue to do that.
You sound like you're moving forward in such a fantastic way and that you're recognizing for a 100-year-old company, you guys are pretty nimble and forward-looking and visionary when it comes to that. So that's wonderful news, and congratulations on 100 years. That's pretty amazing to think back to the beginning, right, when you think about 1920. So right. Let's talk about commercial real estate. Particularly top of mind right now are some issues such as sea level rise, climate change, global warming. How do you see, in your experience in working with your clients, how are cities and developers looking at these problems?
Well, there is, there's a lot of variety, but there also is a lot of similarity. When you look at the country, we're surrounded by water. When you look at the states where we have larger offices, they've experienced this and are experiencing it, whether it's, New York, New Jersey, Florida, we're, a peninsula state. So we have, I think, probably one of the largest land use groups of a law firm in the country. So we do a lot of sharing of information and trying to see what are best practices and then what are cities doing. And what we're finding is that those cities who are forward-thinking are really concerned with this and are already starting to change local regulations, building codes. They're trying to raise the infrastructure. Miami has been at it for quite a while now, and our land use and environmental people are very active in working with the local governments in that area. A few years ago when you had Hurricane Sandy, I think they saw how vulnerable they were and are looking at that. So, it's not just a Florida issue. It's really a national issue. And what we're trying to do is see, where are all of our different offices involved? What kinds of things are we doing? Is there new technology, new best practices? And then how can we share that and really be partners with the local governments where we're located? So I think that's a big issue. And I think what you find now, too, is so many, as we said, the corporate entities are concerned about diversity. They're looking at their portfolios. And now I think finally people are saying, this really has an economic impact. And there's a risk assessment analysis going on, because they're going to be more, you know, focused on, well, what types of real estate do we want to buy? Where do we want to buy it? And they're going to become much more cautious about coastal areas.
You know, another big issue that has been very much on the forefront the last 2 years and even before is affordable housing. Everybody's talking about it right now. And, you know, can you talk a little bit about some of the options that you know that are being implemented around affordable housing?
Yes. And that is really, I think, you know, we talked about it in the past, and then it seemed like, you know, we went through a period where I guess there wasn't as much focus. But with the attention now, especially if you're doing well economically and you're in a growth area, what, you know, these governmental entities are finding is, hey, we're doing well, but we could do even better if, let's say if you're in the tourist industry, you know that our tourist area, you know that they're going to have a certain percentage of their people that are going to be, you know, flat fee. They're not going to be, you know, paid as well, or they're going to be minimum wage. And, you know, they're not going to come to an area if there's no place for those people to live. Or even as it goes up, I mean, this is a, you know, it's staggered at each level, but we're seeing everything from the local governments themselves setting up housing trust funds so that they can underwrite and subsidize housing themselves, or trying to tie that back into some kind of state initiative in whatever state it's located, breaking down the barrier on codes and zoning, because that is a really big problem. Because if, you know, you require everything has to be 1,200 square feet and an acre lot, you know, it's very expensive. So we're seeing, you know, tiny houses, a lot more flexibility with smaller units, you know, even putting those in regular neighborhoods, but allowing, you know, some different kinds of multifamily in there with the really small units where you can keep the rent down. Those cities, big cities, they're trying to do it almost all by forcing that you include a certain percentage, we're seeing are not being as successful, because it's just the price of land is so high, and the cost of construction, that it just, those, some of those projects don't pencil out. So I think you need to find things that are more incentives.
Yes.
As opposed to sanctions.
And I think that what you're saying is that there's more innovative thinking out there now, and they're looking for these other options, because you're right. I think at the end of the day, forcing, you know, in communities that are forcing to have a certain percent, it's not viable for long term. It's not going to solve the problem. So it's good to hear that firms like yours are seeing a variety and can share that and spread that around among clients as well. Some of that knowledge and insight that you're gaining and can be very, very valuable. So I think this is a great discussion around commercial real estate. And I'd really like to thank you. And to close, say that, you know, recognize Ackerman for being a CRU Network partner for many years. And of course, your alignment with our brand is an important statement to the industry that your company embraces diversity and supports efforts to advance women and people of color everywhere. So, Cecilia, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Wendy. It's been great talking with you as always. And we love CRU, and we really do appreciate the long-term relationship that we've had, and look for another 100 years.
Yeah, I was just going to say, to the next 100 years. Thanks, Cecilia. Have
All
a great
right.
day.
Thank you.